So YouTube's highest paid stars, according to Forbes, this is not an easy thing because the stars don't say.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube definitely doesn't say. They'd like to give you all the impression everybody's getting incredibly wealthy.
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
On YouTube. But
yeah, it's
Forbes,
complete BS.
So, in fact, you wrote a great article a couple of years ago on I'm leaving YouTube.
Yeah. I was part of the partner program where they gave you money in advance against your account
that
and all stuff.
That was a good deal. You were lucky to cash
in. It was pretty good. Yeah, we got I can't say exact details, but it was seven figures ahead of time. But we then had to recoup it, and it's like 3 years later, and we're actually recouping it now, and it's going to work out, actually. It was a pretty good deal. The problem is they take 45% of your revenue, which if you are running a business and you have a sales team, you know your sales team is going to cost anywhere from 15 to 30% of your overall cost. So if you are getting 55 and then your sales team has to take another 20 or 30% of that 55 that you get, now you're down to like 30%. So great place to build a brand, horrible place to build a business, completely unreasonable to take 45%. And now what they're trying to do is do a little damage control because last week Twitter came out and said, we're going to give... The rumor is Twitter's giving 70%. I actually can confirm that because I know people on the
side. Interesting. 30-70 is the split.
Really?
30-70.
Just like Apple.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's what it should have been from the beginning. And that's what I told them. I said, I'll stick around if you do 70-30.
It's worse on YouTube because there's no transparency. You don't really know what they're getting.
And then YouTube, it's their interest. Every time they make a change to the YouTube system, it's to keep the length of views.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you put Twitter,
artificially inflate the length of
views. Yeah, but for them. So here's the thing. When you put up, Twit videos, or I put up This Week in Startups, all of a sudden on the side are our competitors, and then you get all these subscribers, but then you can't reach them.
Right.
And they keep obscurifying your ability to reach your audience.
Right.
And so it's a little bit of a trap. Once you get on there, you get all these subscribers, and then they change the rules. You never actually own your audience.
So it sounds like they might have leaked these numbers to Forbes.
Oh, they have been, yeah, totally.
In effect, to
100% guarantee
to promote
that.
The idea that you, like PewDiePie, will be making, believe it or not, $12 million
completely
a year.
Completely believe he makes that much money, but consider how pathetic that is if they're making $6 or $7 billion that the number one star is making then compare it to something where you look at something like, let's say, Iron Man, right? He's getting paid Robert Downey Jr., $50 million, $100
million. Yeah, but he's got talent. PewDiePie just swears that he's playing a game.
But even still, PewDiePie is developing.
Well, and that's the other question I have. And from the point of view of YouTube, this is a crappy audience, right? It's 12-year-olds.
And it's everybody.
Yeah, but it's an audience that is very difficult to deliver.
Nobody wants 12-year-olds.
Not yet.
Especially because most of those views are repeated views from the same few 12-year-olds.
Well, here's the thing.
I watched my 12-year-old.
You do
he
have
watches the same video 100 times.
It's a billion. It's now a billion people a month. So it's everybody on YouTube.
Okay.
So you can get everybody there. The problem is, of course, they're just taking so much of the revenue. And they just were able to do that early because, remember, when YouTube started, you used to have to pay for bandwidth. And you used to have to pay for hosting. So it seemed like a great deal then. They've tried to hold the line on this revenue split. And it's ridiculous because if he's making $12 million only, can you imagine what he's done for that platform, though? He has brought so much value to that platform. To only make $12 million a year is a joke.
Yeah, but
it's a joke.
But on conversely, there's no PewDiePie without YouTube. There was no other platform where he was going
to.
Which
else.
Is, it's a great way to build a brand. But what you'll see is you had Ellen, who was making Ellen DeGeneres and her show had a sweetheart deal with YouTube, from what I was told by insiders, 90% of the revenue. Then YouTube started unraveling those deals and put her back down to 55%. Then she created EllenTube, her own YouTube.
Right.
And now Twitter is going to her saying, "We'll give you 70%." Where does she interact all day long? On YouTube or on Twitter? She's on Twitter. Where does Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga have
But wait a minute.
They're on Twitter.
Frankly, Ellen is really there for promotional value, not for revenue. And so she's going to go where the audience is and where the best audience is. She wants – I mean, if Fallon and Ellen are on YouTube because it generates audience for the TV show, that's where the revenue is.
But if you think about how much they're getting in terms of views there, when you get a million, 10 million views for some of those – and you can get
a million
make
views
a 30,
is like $1,500.
If it's a $30 or $40 or $50 CPM for that level of talent,
because it's a higher CPM. Okay,
they're getting bundled into the $2, $3 like YouTube garbage. When they go over, CPMs. When they go over to Twitter and they can put an ad on every single view, which you can't do on YouTube, and they get premium advertisers and they can sell into their own inventory.
Yeah, but who do you get? You get the Twitter crowd. Is that what you want?
Well, listen, these are going to be legitimate views, and they're going to get $30, $40, $50
CPM. A view is a view. It doesn't matter.
I think for the advertisers, it's going to be a great view, and it's going to be a
$30, $40 CPM. Because, on TV, they don't freaking know what you're seeing, who's seeing it.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. But
they buy a pig in a poke.
This is going to – I think Twitter, people are talking about, oh, my God, Twitter, are they going to be able to, you know, come back or whatever, keep growing? They're at 300 million or whatever monthlies. They could go right to a billion, because if they start getting people like Justin Bieber and Ellen to start putting their videos over there and interacting with their audience, nobody can interact. Would you ever talk to the YouTube commenters?
No.
It's horrible.
You stay away from them.
But on Twitter, you get all really great considered people. And they're going to let you control
your
video.
Twitter you use.
I was going to say, I've been getting some right nutters on
there. Compared to YouTube, I think there's a lot of
people. Oh, yeah, but I mean, come on, everything
on
compared to... I mean, YouTube is just
who's
a bad smosh pitch.
He makes $8.5 million. Who's Smosh?
They're
anybody
like...
know who's
Smosh? Comedy duo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's PewDiePie. Next is Smosh. Yeah. Here comes Smosh. Are they a duo?
Yeah.
Then the Fine Brothers. I've seen them. Yeah. But this is in all kind of mostly... It's under 20s.
A teeny bopper,
Rhett,
comedy.
This is actually I like her. She's the dancing violinist, Lindsay Sterling. Rhett and Link. You know when they talk about these numbers though, and I noticed in the Fortune article, they're also including money that Coca-Cola and others pay Rhett and Link to make kind of crap pseudo native content ads.
Oh, they're including the native content.
They're including the native content. So I don't even think they're making this kind of money off of YouTube.
Yeah. Well, at the name of the game...
That is not Michelle Pham.
That's not Michelle Pham, no.
This is very confusing.
The whole idea behind Michelle... Like, Michelle Pham's making $3 million here. She's making, you know...
Much more selling...
Tens of millions
cosmetics
selling
baskets. Yeah.
So exactly. Almost everybody who's made it work on YouTube has stuff off YouTube.
That's my point. For Ellen, it's a promotional thing.
Well, you know, what it comes down to is you have to balance... Is the value that you get at having your videos on YouTube as a platform more or less than the value that you're able to extract by showing your content somewhere else, right? And I think that if you are reliant on YouTube for the audience, especially when you're early, it makes a lot of sense. You build, like Jason's saying, you build your, not just your brand, but you build your audience there. There comes a point when your audience is big enough and maybe loyal enough where you can try to move them off of YouTube or...
When you really monetize.
That's when you
can. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you want to get their email address.
Can you get it from YouTube?
No. So the whole name of the game is people are running contests and landing pages, and they'll let you click off of... And I actually was the person who actually got YouTube to concede this. I convinced Saller, who was the previous head before Susan, to let you link out to your own site. So they let you link out to one domain name. And in the conversation I had with Saller, I was like, listen, Saller, like, I want to link to my website. He's like, you can't link off of YouTube. Annotations can only link to other videos. I said, well, why can't I link to myself? He's like, well, we'll have spamming. I'm like, yeah, but I'm a partner.
Right. Yeah.
You've already positioned me for trust. You have my credit card. You have my social security number. You have my tax ID. We're already splitting revenue. Why don't you let the partners at least link to themselves? And they relented and said you can put in one URL. So I put in like the URL of our website, and then I created redirects to go to our Twitter, to go to our email landing pages, and try to move it over. And we moved over, I would say, 1% of our audience per month to email subscriptions. And so what you do is, the name of the game is to just get, if you're iJustine and you have 2 or 3 million, well, you should probably get 10 million subscribers. If you can just get eventually 10% of those, a million of those emails, then you will not be dependent on YouTube. And then the what's going to happen is a marketplace is now emerging between Yahoo, Facebook, and Twitter to get this talent. And I think YouTube's not going to go from a billion viewers down to 100 million, but they're going to have serious competition. And this talent is going to leave and go other places and publish other places first and publish other places more.
I think that's why they're going to Forbes in the first place, because they know they've got a constant churn of people that they're going to have to go through. And just flashing that in front of a late teen or an early 20-year-old, they think, I can do that. And of course, 99%
that's
of them
what
won't,
breaks
but
my
that
heart.
1% will.
That's what breaks my heart, is I see these kids and they really think they're going to make it. It's like going to Schwab's drugstore expecting to get discovered.
It's an essential life lesson that you've got to learn. Life doesn't work out a lot of the time.
And you know what? You're not going to make it to the NBA either.
This
most
is why
cases.
I'd be a lousy parent. You know?
Get used to it. You'd be a good parent, I think.